Tim Corbin.
He'll be watching his basketball Commodores. So you got a lot of viewing work to do around your job, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, I know your friends with the Predators staff. They speak highly of you and know your relationship with Kevin Stallings, and I'm sure you have an attachment to the women's basketball team, so it's a crazy time of year.
Yeah, it's a good time of year. Unfortunately, I can't enjoy their situations as much as I'd like to just because you're stuck in mud here, you know, with your own situation. But this is good. I'm looking forward to both games tonight with Kevin's team and Barry's team, too.
Timmy, I want to ask you something just in terms of evaluating your players. How much tape do you go back and watch and evaluate off of that? Or do you do most of it, with Derek and the rest of your staff in terms of just what you see during games?
Well, now that we got this new $100,000 video system, we do a lot of that now. Pretty good. We got a tape on my desk from four different angles after every game, so you can really see what you want and you get it broken down quite a bit. So I like that. I think it helps the kids more, too, because you can help them a little bit more. Although, with analytical kids, you don't want to show them too much because you'll start freezing them. But it's good for the coaches to see anyway.
Yeah, don't think you're hurting the team.
Yeah, you can do that.
You've talked some about, younger guys breaking them in, playing the field, learning, defensively what they're supposed to be doing. How much does videotape help in that department when you talk about footwork and positioning and all that sort of stuff?
Well, it can early. I think you tend to look at it more as a team type thing. You know, you talk about from a defensive standpoint, and this is the emphasis with us, is just throwing the ball station to station and not skipping any stations at all, because you want to keep runners to one base at a time. So I think when you're looking at cutoffs and relays and just making sure that people are in the right spots and handling the ball, that's probably the basic thing. I think the fundamental work of footwork and throwing and receiving balls is done more in the early part of the spring or winter, I should say, and then part of the fall. But right now, when it's in motion, you're basically looking at team-type activity more than individual.
I always think one of the interesting elements of Major League Baseball is watching how teams position their fielders and then try to have their pitchers pitch to certain spots where the hitters will put it in play to where the fielders are. How much of that can you do at the college level? Can you scout enough ahead, especially on conference teams, to make those sorts of things work for you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, we take information from games that we play. I mean, we've got this software system called Inside Edge, and what it does, it tracks every pitch, and it also tracks every ball. And, I'm looking at it right here while I talk to you. But, like, we're Ole Miss. You know, we just take all their charts from last year, so we've got every ball, where it was hit, where it was struck, what type of pitch was thrown when that pitch was struck. So really what you're looking at is the probability more than anything else. Now, you just can't cover the whole field and you can't define where a kid's going to hit. You know, especially he might be a little bit stronger than he was last year, so he might be more pull-oriented than he was last year too. But I think, the probability of where a guy is going to hit the ball gives you a basic idea of where you want to position your guys. But scouting reports are like weather forecasts, and they don't mean a whole lot sometimes. You know, it's a kind of a, this is what might happen, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. And I think that's what I tell the kids. So you still have to play the game.
We're speaking of Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Your team's gotten off to a good start offensively. And what about first baseman Aaron Westlake, who's hovering over 500? Boy, you're a smart guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought he was going to be a good player last year, but he had the blood clots, and then we had to shut him down. I mean, he was in the hospital for 2 weeks right in the middle of school, so he got a medical redshirt. And then what happens is Giobbe, our starting catcher, breaks his hand. Our other catcher, who was going to start with Giobbe, we're going back and forth, is Casale. He needs Tommy John surgery in his elbow, so we've got him playing first base. So then we throw Westlake back there. He's never caught a day in his life, and he started catching in December. And now he's our full-time catcher, which, I don't know, sometimes he's a receiver, sometimes he's a retriever. It just depends on the day. But I'll tell you what he can do is he can hit, but catching is very, very important. So, we're just kind of crossing our fingers right now and hoping he improves every time out. But he can hit. I mean, it's very difficult to hit 500 even at this juncture, and he's done quite well.
How difficult is it to pull the trigger on putting a guy in there to catch who's never done it before, with that being such a key position?
Well, real important. You know, if I don't want my pitching coach to be in my ear all the time, you know, you better have someone back there that can catch Mikey Minor and Caleb Cotham and guys who have been around a long time. But, you know, Aaron's focus and his work has been all in the bullpen, and it's just kind of, you know, we tried to speed up the learning curve as much as possible, but that's very difficult to do. I mean, you got some seasoned pitchers out there, but the thing that he does well, and I'm kind of underselling him a little bit, is Aaron, he's got very soft hands. He's very when he sits in the catcher's area, he can get low, you know, especially for a kid who's 6'3", 220 pounds. And he throws quite well, too. So the pitchers are comfortable with him right now. Now, you know, we have to call every pitch for him. And I've got my catching coach who is side-by-side with him as close as he can be with him during the course of the game. So it's kind of a lot of tutoring while the game's going on. But it's not an easy situation right now.
Tim, what about Casale? He's got 5 bombs this year. You know, just another guy's added a power element to your lineup.
He's quite a hitter, you know, and you just didn't get to see a lot of it last year because he was under a rock, you know, behind Alvarez and Flaherty and so on. But he's a good hitter. He's got good zone control, and he's, you know, he's quite a team player right now. He's a situation where he could have surgery right now and is not having it because he's playing. And, you know, he's probably going to take a back seat because that's 12 months or 10 or 12 months of rehab while he, you know, after he gets that surgery done. So I think right now what he's trying to do is play through the season and get the surgery done right after the season's over and then, you know, be back for next year at least as a hitter and then catch as time goes on.
Is that on his throwing arm?
Yeah, it's on his throwing arm. And, you know, he's playing first base and he's making minimal throws. He can't do any more damage to the elbow because he's already torn the ligament. But Dr. Andrews, James Andrews in Birmingham, looked at it and said, yeah, it's going to need surgery. But, you know, if he can just hold on or possibly hold on and get through the season, then he's going to help us out quite a bit.
He's a Connecticut kid. Huh? You know, how much better can you get there?
He's a hockey player.
Yeah. Your teams usually excel in the field, but how concerned have you been about your team's defense?
It's been pretty good, actually. I mean, our shortstop, Ryan Harris, has played very well. Our second baseman's a freshman, and he catches everything. And our third baseman, Esposito's a freshman, and he seems to catch everything, too. And then you get Casale over at first base. So far, so good. We're fielding 970. That's going to be challenged as time goes on, especially when you play in SEC ballparks where there's more pressure put on kids. But, you know, I talk a lot about just making simple plays. Don't do more than what you have to do. You know, don't try to make a great play. Don't try to throw a ball into an area in which you know you can't get it there. Just keep the runner at first base. So, you know, a lot of our practices and a lot of my talk has been just on that. Don't do anything more than you're capable of doing and we'll be just fine. So far, so good, but we'll see.
You head into conference play this weekend with Ole Miss coming in. Is this club where you'd like them to be as you start into the SEC schedule?
Yeah, I guess so. I just didn't really know what type of club we had just because there was so much youth and inexperience out there. So I was just hoping that we would play well, and I guess we have. I mean, we're 10-4, so we played 14 games. And all but 3 have been against regional opponents. The 4 games were all one-run losses in the 9th inning in which we had a lead, which is, you know, disappointing, but still you know you're there. I don't know. It's just tough to say. I really don't know what to forecast. I enjoy being around them. They're young kids, and I've made this analogy several times. It's like, you know, your own kids when they're 4 and 5 years old, they listen to everything you say and they laugh easy and they're playful. When they become juniors and seniors in high school, they don't listen to one damn word you say. They think you're a dork. So that was kind of the team last year. I like this group of kids because they, not that I didn't like last year, I enjoyed those kids, but this year they're just young and playful. So we'll see.
How good is Ole Miss?
They're good. They can pitch and, you know, they've got a lot of older kids back from last year's team. They kept some seniors. So, I imagine they're going to be the same type of team that they had last year, minus maybe a couple guys. But Biddle, their reliever, who was a reliever of the year last year, is back. He was a first or second rounder by the Yankees, decided not to sign. And So they've got a pretty talented team.
Yeah, good choice not to sign with the Yankees.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right,
Mark.
Come on.
Hey, Tim, good luck this
weekend. By the way, did you hear Papelbon tore Manny up in his magazine story?
No, I didn't hear that. That's good, though. I want to get a hold of that
Esquire,
article.
Esquire, yeah, said he was a cancer in the clubhouse and, you know, just, you know, pretty much submerged his former teammates. So
that's weird. Someone speaking out about Manny.
There you go.